Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan on the Odyssey, iHeart, and TuneIn apps.
Wakanda! Welcome!
The Big Shot of the Night is brought to you by WFAN and me, Keith McPherson, Bright Lights. Big city, New York City's got a bunch of big shots. And this guy's having the biggest year of his career. Trent Grisham, you're a mean one, Mr. Grish. Merry Grishmish. I mean, this guy goes out there tonight and rocks Taj Bradley. He hits two homers. He's got four ribbies. And he just does it in a way that is just so unexpected. Like, you know he's got power. You know he's got 33 homers on the year. But every time he does, it's just like, boop, there's another one. He's going to get paid. Somebody's going to pay him. Because Trent Grisham this year, in his last 50 games, he's got 16 home runs. He's the first MLB player on any team to have a 50-game span with plus 15 home runs. And no other base hit, no other extra base hit since Mickey Mantle. And in 1958. He's just trying to hit the ball out. And that little choppy left-handed swing, you got to love it. So someone put out today, Aaron Judge, Trent Grisham, and Cody Bellinger have 110 home runs. And that's why I kind of joked, oh, how will the Yankees ever replace Juan Soto's production? Trent Grisham was already on the team. We just didn't know that if he played every day, he wouldn't be a 190 hitter with 15 home runs. What an incredible year for Trent Grisham as a New York Yankee with a 240 average, 825 OPS, playing great center field and, you know, hitting home runs every week. Like, this guy's going to have 35 homers. Belly's going to have over 30 homers. Like, the Yankees going to have a bunch of guys over 20 homers. Like, they have it, man. The lineup is there. I so badly want them to just catch fire. I so badly want to see them just like take this us against the world approach, tighten up here, and when we get into the new season that is the postseason, just go on a run. 888-808-1019. We will get to the football in this hour, but I still have calls on the Yankees, on the Mets. Let's get to them. Greg is down in the A in Atlanta. Greg, you're on the Fan in New York.
Well, Mr. McPherson, always a pleasure to listen to your gospel at this church setting, because you're always preaching it like it needs to be preached. But hey, I just want to say so. Kudos to your Yankees. They're showing grit. They're grinding it out. I'm a Mets fan, but I got to give props where they're due. Now, let me get started with the Mets here, now that I complimented the Yankees, because hey, got to give the credit where it's due. But check this out. It was like an accident unfolding. You can see it with Peterson. Peterson reverted back to the Peterson of last year. Not the postseason Peterson. I'm saying prior to him really excelling. He started to go back to nipping corners, and he wasn't attacking hitters. And for the life of me, bases loaded, 3-2 count, you can't be up there throwing some secondary crap to a professional hitter.
No.
Like Manny Machado. I'd rather see him throw a fastball. and then just say, okay, he got my best pitch. But that wasn't his
walk him.
Before
you let him get all four with a grand slam. Yeah,
I agree.
He hasn't been good in a month more.
But doesn't that speak more to Mendoza as well? Because as a fan, I'm watching it with my brother, and we're just seeing this thing unfold. And we're like, I can't believe he just hit somebody. And like, he walked somebody. I'm like, they gonna pull this guy? And we just sit there, and then the base blood said, this isn't good.
No,
and
I said, because I feel like they just, like, they stay stuck on this, like, oh, this guy's a good pitcher. Oh, well, we depended on him last year. It's in there. And it's like, no. Last year has nothing to do with right now. You need to manage off of what you're seeing in the moment, not what you saw in the past.
Agreed. Now, would it be all fair that some criticism has to go towards Mendoza? Because we've seen this. What I'm trying to say, there's been so many games where there's been hit batsmen and it just snowballs. There's been games where there's like two consecutive walks and it snowballs. And it's almost like, I feel like Mendoza's right there in the living room with me watching a game. Where I see the guy shook. He's like, okay, I think this guy, you know, he's pitching good. Let me get my bullpen going.
He trusts his guys.
I don't get that vibe from him.
Yeah, I don't know. And he's made so many wrong decisions with the bullpen. He's in a tough spot. You know, he's in a tough spot. Do I go yank my starter for somebody like Soto to come out of the pen? Or he went to Hamill tonight, which actually worked for an inning. Dom Hamill came in and did the job. But, like, I think he believes in his guys almost to a fault. I'm looking at David Peterson's numbers. He hasn't had a good, solid outing since Atlanta, really Washington, right? That National start where he went eight innings,
He's not attacking with his fastball. He's depending more on secondary stuff. That's how these guys get burned. Here's my thing. I don't have an issue if you give up a home run. If you knew, like, when they interview you, you say, hey, that was my best pitch. What I caught in the post game, him talking about, well, yeah, I threw my best pitch and he went down there and get him. Like, dude, that is not your best pitch. That's a cop out. That's what I preach about the Yankees.
An 82 mile an hour curveball in the bottom middle of the zone. It's Manny Machado. Like I said, Manny Machado's swing, he's on that.
Yes, sir. And like I said, I know we got other callers, but I wanted to say as well was that that's the thing. That's the thing that chased me is watching him and hearing that excuse, because that's one thing I appreciate about the Yankee players. If they didn't pitch well or they made a bad pitch, they admit it. It's almost like deniability with some of these Mets players. And that's what frustrates me. But Keith, thanks again for taking my call, sir. Always an enjoyment. Keep preaching that gospel. You got the best show on WFA. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. Yeah, I don't know. I remember seeing David Peterson come out with that Kobe Bryant Black Mamba glove and get rocked. And I was like, that's not Mamba mentality. That's not Kobe-like. Forget what game that was. He hasn't been good, bro. He's been shaky as hell. I think that might have been against Miami. Yeah, it was that Miami game. He gave up eight hits, he got smacked. I don't know. Mets fans will tell you a few years back, you had no faith in David Peterson at all. So here we are, man. Down the stretch of this season, you need this guy to be ace-like, and it's not there. And now we're talking about coming out of the bullpen and having him piggyback Kodai Senga, who was an opener for you out of, you know, in the postseason last year, I guess. But like, to me, that's not a bold strategy, Cotton. That's not a bold strategy to go into the wild card game and say, yeah, we're going to take four of our starters and fusion. Ha, we're going to mash them up. We're going to tag team back again. We're going to go Clay Sean and, I haven't thought of what Kodai Senga and David Peterson. Co-David. That's right there for you. Clay Sean and Co-David. There we go. That's game one and game two for your New York Mets in the wild card round. I don't think anybody's going to be so fired up about that. Like, the postseason brings the most nervousness. It brings the most worry. And, like, to go into a series like that when everybody's pitching their aces and their best, you deserve better, man. You deserve better. Josh is in the Bronx on the fan with us. What's up, Josh?
That's awesome, baby. Keep on telling you. Ever since
the drive program with other than sticking with that tag team thing, look, you know what? It's going to come down to the Cubs and the Florida Marlins. I was telling Fleeks about that. Those last six games, man, look, you can, you know, the Nationals, it's in the bag, you know, yada, yada.
I don't know. That. I wouldn't say the Nationals, it's in the bag. Like, you got to still go out there and beat them. They just beat them in D.C.
But it's like you say, you know, if the make it happen much, don't make it happen, Keith, man. That's, you know.
It's all-time bad. Whole world is going to be drinking Met fan tears. Thanks for the call, Josh. And, like, I've kind of come off of it because I don't want to see it. I actually started thumbing through my receipts, and I'm like, oh, no.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
I actually started taking people out. I'm like, there's some people that don't even have the followers or the name where I'm not going to pew, pew, I'm not going to shoot at them. But as I really started combing through my notes and some of the talk from Mets podcasters, radio hosts here at WFAN, Met fans on Twitter that think that they're popular and cool. And when they got Juan Soto and they signed Pete Alonso and they got into like, some of the proclaiming, some of the conversation around World Series, Big Brother, what the Yankees lost, what the Mets are now, how us Yankee fans are salty and coping and all this. I'm like, yo, I don't want to be this guy. I already get it enough. I'm like, if the Mets miss out on the postseason and I unload this clip, it's going to be a whole day. It's going to be a whole day of me just flaming people. And I'm like, I don't think that's going to help my brand. I don't think that's going to help my show. I don't think that's just going to make people like, I hate this guy. So I don't want that. I want us to say, there it is. Back-to-back postseasons. The Mets have done it. Juan Soto put the team on his back down the stretch. Lindor came alive. Pete Alonso, you know. The younger guys like Vientos and Beatty and, you know, I don't want to be laughing and trolling and making fun of the Mets organization and Mets. I tried to chill, like, you know, even going back to thinking about David Peterson in that Miami Marlins series. I went to that series. I was reading Goodnight Yankees to my son tonight. My son, I tried to tell him while we were in Citi Field, this is not Yankee Stadium. We're reading the Goodnight Yankees book. He's seeing Yankee Stadium. He said, I met Blippi there. I said, no, you met Blippi in Queens, but I'm not going to go back and forth on it, son. It is what it is. You'll learn the difference between the Mets and the Yankees one day, but the Mets did such a solid for me, bringing me down VIP to meet Blippi for my son. I'm like, I don't want to be this guy. Please let the Mets make the postseason. Let's avoid all of this. If they lose in the postseason, then that's just is what it is. Like, you know, no shame in losing in the wild card round. A ton of shame if you have a $340 million payroll. You signed a $765 million player who in his press conference talked about growing a dynasty, liking what the Mets are doing over there, feeling like going to Queens from the Bronx gave him a better future and a better chance to win. And people ate it up and ran with it. And laughed at Yankee fans and trolled Yankee fans. Said the pinstripes don't matter anymore. All that roll call, bleacher creature, Monument Park nonsense that you guys love and worship. Juan Soto scoffed at that. He laughed at that. I'm telling you. I got all the receipts. I don't want to bring him back to the surface. There's people that should be deleting some of the stuff that they were saying from November, December, January, February, even March, April, like as we got into the season. Because if you can recall, the Mets had the best record in baseball, I think, in June. Like the Mets came out of the gate with the best home field advantage in baseball. The Mets had MVP, Pete Alonso performing like an MVP, and the narrative was, wait until Juan Soto turns it on. Juan Soto didn't turn it on until June because he was trying to make the All-Star team. But Lindor actually didn't have a slow April, slow start. You know, the Mets had it going out of the gate where you did believe all the conversation about, okay, no, like this year the Mets are going to be contenders. They had the lowest ERA in baseball. The pitching lab, we couldn't believe what Griffin Canning was. It wasn't that long ago, I recall. And the ship has sank. And now the Mets have to just stay afloat. They have to tread water. If you go 500 the rest of the way, you're most likely in. Like I said, these garbage teams chasing you, they're laughing because they're like, this is not where we expected to be. But this is how they changed baseball. This is how they changed the postseason format, which also changes the trade deadline because it's like, now when you're looking at it, the San Francisco Giants are 2 games back. The Cincinnati Reds are 2 games back. The Arizona Diamondbacks are 1.5 games back. The Cincinnati Reds payroll, probably not even half of what the Mets is. The Diamondbacks sold off Eugenio Suarez, Merrill Kelly, Josh Naylor. San Francisco Giants sold off Camilo Duvall, Tyler Rogers, some other pieces. These teams weren't expecting to compete. These teams at the trade deadline, like I think the San Francisco Giants were like 7 out. So it's a long season, man. All I'm saying is I want the Mets. I genuinely want the Mets to make the postseason because the postseason is supposed to be the best of the best. The Arizona Diamondbacks traded away some of their best players. You don't want to see them get in it. You want to see Juan Soto perform in it. You want to see Lindor and Soto perform in it. And David Stearns, it's going to be loud as hell for you, bro. It's going to be loud as hell for you, bro, because you decided that you didn't want to spend on pitching, and you keep preaching developing pitching, but it seems like you're thrusting these kids into this position. One of them seems worthy of that position, Nolan McLain. One of them seems ready to go. Let's see what Sproat can do, because Sproat did have like a little bit of a no-no against the Red. Like Sproat's been decent here, but he's the last one to come up. And Jonah Tong, his last start, he barely got started. He was in over his head. So let's see what he does. But like, if that game gets crazy today at 110, because Jonah Tong can't get outs against his Padres lineup, it's going to be tough. The Nationals, the Cubs, the Marlins, like Mets fans are going to have to sweat it out every game. And just a little bit of a losing streak here, you're in trouble. A streak is 3. If you have a 3-game losing streak here, you're in trouble. If you lose against the Padres today and then drop that first game of the Washington Nationals series, anything could happen. 888-808-1019. Steve is in Valley Stream on the Fan next. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Keith. How's it going? Great show. First of all, I want to compliment you for we gave you an award. Our program gave you an award a couple of weeks ago, and you were so gracious and kind to all the kids that were there. So thank you for that, and congratulations on that, and all the great work that you do.
Of course.
But I'm in Minnesota, and I'm a big Vikings fan, and I do community work here once a year. So I planned it out where the Vikings, I see the home opener, and then the next day the Yankees had a – next 3 days they had a 3-game series against the Twins. So I'm going into Minnesota before I do my work thinking that we're going to win, and obviously the Vikings lost big time. They lost J.J. McCarthy. So I figured sitting there Sunday night, well, I got the Yankees the next night, and then they lose 7-0, get 2 hit, but they picked it up the last 2 games. So the question I have for you is that I was fortunate enough to sit on the third base side in Minnesota, which was great. The fans were into it all 3 games. It was really good atmosphere. But I saw Ahmad Rosario sitting kind of away from everyone. My question to you is that where does he fit in their plans and in the postseason? Because he only has like, what, 23, 24, 25 at-bats, and it seems like they have to get him into the fold to have that more depth in the bench. What do you think?
First off, Steve, thanks for calling. Thanks for sharing the story. And also appreciate you guys from the Chapters Network, you know, the Lifetime Achievement Award. You guys blessing me with that, even at my young age and the young part of my career. It was an honor, and it was a great day. Thank you for the call. I'll take it from here. Let's start with Ahmed Rosario, and then, you know, you've queued me up to get into football, and then we'll get into the break. So Ahmed Rosario, it's weird because when they got him, I honestly was thinking, this is before Jose Caballero was a thing, but I honestly thought Ahmed Rosario was supposed to be the veteran that challenged Volpe. If you remember, I was probably one of the first people on WFAN, if not the first, saying, how did Volpe win the job? He won the job competing. Iron sharpens iron. Everybody should have a little fear that they could lose their job, that somebody is coming for their spot, right? Everybody should. No one should be as comfortable as Anthony Volpe at 22, 3, 4 years old, that I'm just the shortstop of the Yankees. There's nobody here to challenge me. There's no shot of me being sent down. So I thought Ahmed Rosario coming from the Nationals was potentially a veteran that could push him in practice, batting practice, fielding practice, whatever. And then I remember being on air and looking up that, you know, Ahmed Rosario did play, I think, maybe 2 games at shortstop for the Nationals this year. But Ahmed Rosario is Unk. Right? And I literally call him Uncle Ahmed. I'm like, oh, he's got Unk vibes. And he brings that Unk type energy. You know, he hit that homer in Fenway. And for Steve, who's out there in Minnesota, to say that he noticed he was sitting away from everybody, that's kind of concerning, because this is a guy that's in the end of his career. This is a guy that definitely wants to play. And when he first got here, he was bringing a lot of like cheerleader, rah-rah, pump-up vibes, where he was outside of the dugout, hooting and hollering, and like, you're not seeing that as much anymore. And this is back-to-back games where the Yankees hit home runs, scored 10 runs, 12 hits last night, 16 hits the night before. You would think that you'd see Ahmed Rosario kind of hooting and hollering and celebrating. That has worn off. I wonder if, you know, he felt like him hitting that home run would buy him some more opportunities. Especially against these lesser teams, right? We're not playing against the Red Sox, but maybe they're waiting. Now, he was brought in because of his numbers against lefties, right? The Yankees struggled against lefties. So this gives them an option off the bench against left-handed pitching. He'll, I think, get his opportunity. He's not going to get that many opportunities, but he'll get an opportunity coming up. I think he deserves a start. If Austin Slater can start, who Austin Slater is another guy that they got to hit lefties. If Austin Slater can hit the IL, miss a couple weeks, come back and start right away, they got to find an opportunity for Ahmed Rosario. But I think they look at Ahmed Rosario as a guy that just, like, I don't know. He's a bench guy, and there's no room for him. And who are you sitting down in favor of playing Ahmed Rosario? He can play the outfield as well, but you know, even like a day like today, are you putting him in over Jason Dominguez? No, Dominguez was great today. Dominguez had some big moments today. Are you putting him in to spell, you know, Judge? Like, I don't know. I don't know. I literally wasn't thinking about Ahmed Rosario. I'm literally going through the motions right now. Like, what? You know, he's a third baseman. He got the start on Sunday Night Baseball at third base. But when you watch Ryan McMahon play third base, nobody should be playing third base besides Ryan McMahon. We can deal with the strikeouts because that guy over there, what was the term Booney used? It's like he's slipping into a warm bath. Hey, yo, I don't know. But basically saying how, you know, playing the hot corner is like a hot bath for the guy. He's comfortable. No pressure at all. Like, he made a play tonight where he came off the dirt. His feet were in the grass. And he just took one pat at the ball, looked at first base, fired it on a rope to Goldie. And I'm like, bro, what? Also, he's so good at third base, his range to his left, that helps Volpe or Caballero. So, I don't know. Ahmed Rosario, I think, was insurance. Ahmed Rosario, I think, is strictly a bench player. And he'll get his opportunities in the postseason. I always joke about, like, the Yankees having to go to, like, Jose Trevino or Oswaldo Cabrera, or even if we go back some years, having to go to Mike Ford. Like, this year, depending on who we face and who comes out of the bullpen for whatever team, the Astros, the Red Sox, even advancing and most likely running into the Toronto Blue Jays, Ahmed Rosario get his opportunities in those games in a pinch hit situation. 888-808-1019. Now, you said, Steve, you went out to Minnesota to see the Vikings play. And you're about to see Carson Wentz play. And something I've been saying on The Fan for years is, if you don't have two quarterbacks, you won't have one. You know how the old saying used to be, oh, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one? No. Not like having two quarterbacks competing for the job. I'm talking about, you need a QB1 and a QB2, because QB1 is going to go down in the NFL. It just happens. These defensive linemen are too big and strong and fast, and it hurts. I watch football, and I'm like, I don't know how I ever played. That hurts. And it's like, you could get hurt so easily. You can get hurt on a play that's like not really a hit. So like, this week in the NFL, we're going to see Carson Wentz start for the Minnesota Vikings. Tyrod Taylor start for the New York Jets. I think Marcus Mariota start for the Washington Commanders, but I have a feeling Jaden Daniels is going to try and go. But I did have a feeling going into this year. I know I said this on The Fan. I said, I don't expect a sophomore slump for Jaden Daniels, but he's so slim and slender. I don't expect him to play every week. I expect him to miss a couple weeks. So it could be now, better early than late. We already talked about Joe Burrow. So Jake Browning is going to get the start. And then Mac Jones got the start last week for Brock Purdy. That's five NFL teams in week three that are already on QB2. If you don't have two QBs, you won't have one. If you don't have two guys that can play, you won't have anybody. Like, and now, you know, the third string guy is one play away. I saw Brady Cook is taking the second team reps, and it's like, well, damn. That's why I talk about the Jets and the Jets fans, like how quickly Brady Cook from Missouri is one play away from being the starting quarterback of the New York Jets. Pack it up if that's the case. Ah, you can't make it up, man. I don't care about big boats turning slow. I don't care about instant coffee. I don't care about any of that other nonsense that cut Xavier Gibson. But then AG is praising Michael Clemens, or talking about, what do you say? He's like, oh, we know exactly what we're doing with Mike. The things we're asking him to do, he's doing a good job with that. Okay. His fellow Texas A&M alum. I'm sure he's got a soft spot for Michael Clemens. No shot was Michael Clemens getting cut. But now we're open for football conversation. Let me plant another seed with the Giants fans, now that I'm talking Jets a little bit and just talking about the whole league. You've seen a lot of losses in MetLife Stadium. The last win in MetLife Stadium, honestly, probably cost you Cam Ward, the first overall pick, but I know you like Jackson Dart. I expect them to roll out some more plays for Jackson Dart, especially in front of that home crowd, right? Evolve the package of plays that you allow Jackson Dart to run. And I expect them to have some different looks against Spags and that Chiefs defense, but I don't expect a win. The Giants are about to go 0-3 here. Is Andrew Thomas going to play? Andrew Thomas, if you watch James Hudson, which I know you did, if you watch James Hudson last week and then Marcus Bowe, like, are you going to play? You got to play. Enough is enough, man. It's the home opener for MetLife Stadium. The Kansas City Chiefs coming into the building. And if you watch that Chiefs-Eagles game, Pat Mahomes was getting busy on the ground a little bit. Pat Mahomes led them in rushing. He had 66 yards rushing, and he had a 22-yard touchdown run. So Pat Mahomes is going to try to will them to victory. Like, Travis Kelce's cooked. They don't really have that many receivers. There's talk about Tyreek Hill getting traded back. Obviously, we know Buddy got hurt. I'm blanking on his name. Xavier Worthy. They're out there throwing to Tyquan Thornton. Well, they have Hollywood Brown. But I just don't think there's anyone. I think it's going to be a lower scoring game. Like, they lost to the Eagles 20-17. And if you think about the gap between the, like, Super Bowl champion Eagles and the Giants, like, I don't know. I don't see any way that the Giants beat the Chiefs. Call me up and tell me how they do. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan for another 22 minutes. Don't go anywhere because I'm coming right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
This city lives and breathes sports. WFAN is where Yankees fans argue with Mets fans and Giants fans debate Jets fans. Live, loud, and daily. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always streaming on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps.
Now you can find me in St. Louis rolling on. Man, when Nelly came out, I don't think I knew one human being from St. Louis. From the M.I., crooked letter. Like, I used to go get CDs from the Jamaican guy at the Collinswood flea market. I got Nelly's Country Grammar from him and Nellyville from him. That guy was the man. I wonder what he's doing. That was so long ago. He used to burn all the CDs and sell them for $5, and then he would print out the covers of them and then cut them out. And just, you feel like you just, like, you got an official bootleg CD off of my man. People in Monmouth County know about the flea market, the Collinswood flea market. If you only got about $20, that's a good place to be. You used to go in there and be able to eat and leave with a CD or two with $20. They used to have some fugazi ass stuff in there too. Get you a fake authentic jersey. Get you a fake Tiki Barber jersey in there. I remember I did used to have the red Tiki Barber jersey. I got to find it. My mom has it somewhere. I got to find all my old, you know, because like back in that era when Nelly dropped, you could be a fan of a team, but you were wearing team jerseys for style. I remember I grew out of that probably by the time I got to like college. That's when it started to get kind of wishy-washy, especially too because I went to school in Virginia. You don't want to be repping the wrong thing. And then once I got older, like now you will, there are pictures of me in college that probably don't exist anymore, but I wore every Major League Baseball team hat. You will never see me in any team hat outside of the Yankees now. I think the only one that I would never wear back then was the Boston Red Sox. One, because I hate the Red Sox. Two, because I think that B logo was trash. Now, I like the Brooklyn Dodgers B logo, but that Boston Red Sox logo, nah. That's the only hat. I think I didn't even want to purchase a Boston Red Sox hat. But I had two Toronto Blue Jays hats. That white and blue pinwheel Toronto Blue Jays, old school Toronto Blue Jays, that's tough. and then the gray Toronto Blue Jays with the like newer age, like, you know, 2000s fitted. I had that. Actually, I think I had that fitted on the night I met Alexis Texas. Because when I met Alexis Texas, I remember that fitted. I put that fitted somewhere. That fitted held that memory for so long. My memory bank was so good. The real life visual of what I saw with Alexis Texas beat anything that I could find online. All right, let me get back on track. If you know, you know. If you were listening tonight, I told my Alexis Texas story. Keith, you ever been starstruck? You ever meet anybody that you were starstruck by? Yeah, Alexis Texas. Not Derek Jeter, Alexis Texas. But I'm losing it. I was trying to get to the, like, oh, yeah, I had the throwback Tiki Barber jersey. I think I had a Curtis Martin jersey. I want to find them now because I think the next thing I'm going to do is just start rocking different team jerseys on Sundays. I wore my Michael Vick jersey week one. I wore my Kenny Pickett Steelers jersey week two. And I'm like, I don't have any other jerseys. I've put all my Cowboys jerseys in a bag. I'm going to go see Mr. Throwback. Probably do some content with Mr. Throwback where I exchange my Jerry Jones gear for some classics. I want to see if he has a Vic Jets jersey. I think that would be tough. But I just got to go look at his inventory. I'd wear a Jets or Giants jersey. I don't think I'm going to become a Jets or Giants fan. Just these first 2 weeks have taken me out of that thought. It's just too much pain. It's too much suffering. Like, that Giants loss, that was a, like, that one, that I was mad for Giants fans. And that's how I know I'm detached from the Dallas Cowboys. I was actively rooting for Jerry Jones to feel that burn. I was actively rooting for Giants fans to get that victory. You know, that was one of the victories that I was talking about where I said the Giants are going to be underdogs every single week to start the season. But pick your spots. I had a parlay. I had Malik Nabers, 2 touchdowns. Malik Nabers was plus 1,000. And I forget what the Giants were money line, but like, that was about the cash. That was about the cash for like 2 G's. Being an NFL free agent as a fan, I wish I got to it sooner. Because I feel like baseball is super regional. The NBA kind of too. NBA, actually, you could be a fan of just players. Football, it's hard to be a fan of players because they only play once a week. They could get hurt, then they don't play. Like, NBA, you can be a LeBron stan. You could be a KD fan. You could be a Luka fan. You could be a Giannis fan, you know. But in the NFL, I think it's easy. Like, the first 2 weeks have been great. I have 2 Survivor Leagues, 2 fantasy teams, and I just put together anytime touchdown parlays, and then I try to just do, like, same-game parlays where I'll pick a team to win and someone to score. I'm really trying to hit these 2 touchdowns. Like, Amon Ross St. Brown had 3 touchdowns last week. I'm like, bro, why didn't I think? I have him on my fantasy team too. I'm like, why didn't I think to play him for 3 TDs? Like, 3 TDs is like plus 10,000. But anyway, as we go into week 3 here, I think what I'm going to do as just a nighttime guy and someone who is an NFL free agent, and I'm not swayed by fandom. I'm not swayed by, like, my own thoughts about my own, you know, misery or team or what I want the Jets to be or Giants to be. I did this last year. I think I'm going to talk more about the other teams as we head into games. Like, I remember last year talking about the Vikings, and Giants fans underestimated the Vikings, and I'm like, the Vikings have a bunch of journeymen. They have a bunch of underdogs. They have a bunch of different guys that are trying to prove themselves, like Pace and Van Ginkle and Aaron Jones and Sam Darnold, and they came ready to play. You know, this Chiefs team, there's a video of the end of the game where Chris Jones says to Jalen Hurts, something along the lines of like, man, you didn't even get 100 yards. And he said, you didn't even have 100 yards. And Jalen Hurts says, we won the effing game. Shut your ass up. So, like, and shout out to Jalen Hurts, man, because he's going to win a lot of games in his career. And then when he retires all time, probably going to have more than one Super Bowl, never an MVP, probably not too many Pro Bowls. They're going to have debates about him, and he's going to be good. He's paid already, and he's going to be a legend in Philadelphia. But what I'm getting at here is the Chiefs' defense was able to hold Jalen Hurts to 101 passing yards. I do not expect Russell Wilson to throw for 450 yards against them. If he throws for half of that, 225, you take that as a win. They didn't throw one touchdown pass. They're interviewing A.J. Brown, and A.J. Brown is holding back. He at least had five catches versus one, but 27 yards is nothing. Like, I don't know what to expect from the Giants. It's a way different week. Like, I don't know what to expect from the Giants if they're trying to throw the ball in the air against the Chiefs like they did against Dallas. Dallas is suspect as hell. You know? And then on the ground, not for nothing, 22 carries. They kept Saquon under 88 yards. And when I looked at the Giants last week, I'm like, okay, now Cam Scataboo becomes your lead back. And they never really established the run. They never really controlled time of possession. And they probably needed to do that because that's part of winning the game. You know, I felt like the Giants lost the game five different times because they're not used to winning. Their coaching staff, their players, they're not used to doing the little things it takes to seal a victory. How do they do that on primetime, Sunday Night Football, the world watching, with a stone cold killer like Patrick Mahomes, who you can't hit? You literally can't hit him. So on this vaunted pass rush with Burns and Abdul Carter and Sexy Dexy and Kayvon, they're having a good year up front. They're getting their sack numbers. They're doing their thing up front. But be careful with Patrick Mahomes because that's going to be roughing the passer. That's going to be unnecessary roughness. And then Pat, he knows that. So he plays this game where, like, he fake goes out of bounds or fakes like he's going down or throws his shoulder into you or breaks a run. Like, that's why he's able to run the ball like that, because, like, he's Patrick Mahomes. He's a golden child. He's face of the entire league. Can't hit Pat. You might get suspended. So is it like a tricky balance? Beware of Isaiah Pacheco. Jets fans remember, Isaiah Pacheco is from Jersey, went to Rutgers. Isaiah Pacheco is going to turn up here, coming back to the state of New Jersey, him being a Garden State guy. Beware of Isaiah Pacheco and them getting him going. The jitterbug. Scarlet Knight. I think he's from Vineland. Beware of that guy breaking some runs and him running hard against the Giants defense. Yeah, he's from Vineland. He's from South Jersey. Now for the Jets, I don't know what to tell y'all. Tyrod, we'll start there with Tyrod. And I'll do more of this and we'll unpack tomorrow night and Friday, and I'll keep adding. I could do this, like, you know. And like I said, I'm going to lean more into the other team. But I'll start with Tyrod. I'm connected to Tyrod and Russ. They're the same age. I met both of them on the recruiting trail. I played quarterback in high school. So I was with Russ at UVA. I've told this story 1,000 times because it's a good story. It's like, I can literally still close my eyes and see Russell Wilson in his Miami jersey that he wore to UVA. I don't know why he did that. I think he thought he was going to go to Miami. And I can still close my eyes and see a young Tyrod Taylor, who was a year younger than me, but he was elite down there at Hampton, Hampton, Virginia, Newport News area. And I remember him being upset because he didn't get as many reps at the combine as the older guys. I got to throw the ball more than him at the combine. And I remember telling him, like, bro, don't worry, bro. Like, you're from Virginia. All these guys are from New York and New Jersey. The fact that you're even up here is huge. Like, keep going, keep going. And then I missed him in college because the year that I transferred out of James Madison University and went to Monmouth University, James Madison University went to Blacksburg and beat Virginia Tech. Tyrod is a quarterback, man. He's just not very tall, not very big-bodied either. That's why he can't stay healthy. And he's had a tough road. You know, Tyrod was the starter in Cleveland when they drafted Baker Mayfield. And now, fast forward all these years, Tyrod and the Jets will face off against Baker Mayfield and the Buccaneers. And it's like, look at the road these guys went. Tyrod went from Cleveland to L.A. with the Chargers, and we already know how they did him in Cleveland. And then, you know, they did something to, like, puncture a lung, operated on him, and then he couldn't go, and they literally told Justin Herbert in pregame warmups, you're the starter today, and he has not, you know, let go of that starting job since. Then Tyrod went to the Houston Texans, and then he came to the New York Giants with Daboll and company because I think they knew him from Buffalo a little bit. And now he's with the Jets. Good that the Jets have him. Baker Mayfield went from Cleveland to the freaking Panthers, who, like, I don't know how the Panthers had him and Sam Darnold. And they just, I don't know. They end up bringing Cam Newton back and having Bryce Young. And then he was had that brief stint with the Rams, where I forget what primetime game it was. He balled for the Rams. And now he's the literal franchise quarterback of the Buccaneers. I'm actually, like, I'm looking at the Buccaneers as one of my top four potential landing spots, especially if I end up cashing out in the next few years and getting a house down in Florida. Definitely going to be a Bucs fan. Why not? They play right across the street from George M. Steinbrenner Field. Baker hangs out with the Yankees. Why not? I don't think there's any chance that the Jets go down there and beat Todd Bowles and this team. I don't. And as I talk about leaning into the other teams, I'm watching the Buccaneers, and they have kind of shot themselves in the foot. They should have put up more points back-to-back weeks against the Falcons and against the Texans. But they have playmakers on offense that I do not see the Jets' defense being able to stop. Just start with their backfield. Bucky Irving, he's tough. Rashad White, also tough. Their receivers. Mike Evans, you know, but Mike Evans is getting up there in age. But, hey, you get him one-on-one, those fade balls, like Mike Evans could still run a go route, a fade ball, and win one-on-one coverage. An old pal of the New York Giants, Sterling Shepard, still down there getting it done. Wasn't Sterling Shepard cooked? Didn't he have too many, like, issues, like, you know, injuries? Wasn't he about to retire? The Giants let him go. He's still catching passes in the NFL for a first-place 2-0 team. Playoff team. And then Mama, there goes that man from the Ohio State, Emeka Egbuka, number two. He's a dog. He's already scored 3 touchdowns in his early NFL career as a rookie. He'll probably find another one. And then Cade Otton, their tight end. Like, they have some skill position guys. And then the number one skill position is their quarterback, Baker Mayfield. He is a psychopath. He knows every defense that you're trying to throw at him. And he will beat you. Remember him coming here and beating the Giants' ass, and then doing the Tommy Cutlets pitching hands? He was doing it real fast. I'm doing it on YouTube for the YouTube. He said he was paying homage to Tommy Cutlets. Yeah, right. He was mocking him. He didn't even know how to do it right. He was doing it that fast. So New York football over before it starts. We're looking at the Jets 0-3, the Giants 0-3, and I got to write a rap about it for Friday, and I'm undefeated with those picks. So far, week 1 and week 2, and we didn't play my week 2 rap. I did the rap, I sent it in, and they lined it up. I did it on the How We Do beat, and then, like, I'm so particular about, like, music and beats and rhythm and that type of stuff. I gotta send the track as I intended, because, like, I sent the vocals and I sent the instrumental and they put it together and I'm like, that's not how I rapped it. But I was perfect with my picks in week 1 and 2. It's honestly pretty easy picking the Jets and Giants game. You just pick them to lose. Just pick whoever they're playing against. Not hard to pick. And I picked the Jets game, the Giants game, and the Monday night game. So I was able to, I knew Chicago wasn't going to win. I picked the Vikings week 1. And then I knew the Bucs and the Chargers were going to win. Perfect. All right. Let me get out of here. I got to go home, blow my nose, and go to sleep. That's all I've got for KM to AM. Chris McMonagle is coming your way next. Good night.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.